I believe that God desires us quite often to live a more simple life. And I think what we hear and look at the scripture we consider, the message we have today, will show just that. If you study scripture, and some of you may even have it as notes in your Bible if you have an annotated Bible, in the Old Testament there were what was known as 613 rules of the Old Testament law. Well, when Moses had a conversation with God on the mountain, God condensed these 613 laws into 10 commandments. And then the scripture that we had today, God simplified that even further and took those 10 commandments and simplified them into two, which can basically be summed up in the four words that are on the front of our bulletin today, which say, love God and love people. In the scriptures, the teachers of the law were asking Jesus a question. Which is the greatest commandment? Now, we don't necessarily understand or know the heart of this one that was asking the question, so I'm not going to presume that. But as I spent time thinking about praying over this, it made me think about how we might ask a similar question today. It's in the context of us sometimes just wanting to know what we have to do to get by. For example, if someone is studying for a test or you're in a class and you may want to know, what is the grade I have to get just to get by, just to pass? Maybe because you aren't really wanting to put forth your best effort to do the absolute best that you can. Well, when it comes to our Christian faith, it's not about getting by. It's about being all in. And when we talk about loving God and loving people in the context of today, it's not just what we do to get by in our relationship with God. It's not what we do just to get by in our relationship with others. There's a lot more to it than that. That being said, I have another question for us today. Do you love God? And I would dare say there's not a person here that would not say that you love God, so I'm going to follow that up with another question. How much do you love God? Now, I'm not asking you to respond to me with the answer to that question, but I want you to sincerely think about that. How do you quantify that? How do you compare your love for God? And then I want us to look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. And I'm going to give you a minute. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to look up that. If you don't, you may want to look at the Bible that's in the pew in front of you. But I want you to see this in writing, in Scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. I'll give you just another minute. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 says this. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So I ask you again, how much do you love God? That's not necessarily an easy scripture to process, because I'm assuming that there's some people here that love their mamas and their daddies and their sons and daughters quite a bit. But according to this scripture, we're supposed to love God more than we love them. I want to tell you just a quick, true story that happened to me 17 years ago. I used to be more of an extrovert than I am now, if you can believe that. And to the point that I absolutely refused to eat lunch by myself. I just didn't. I'd spend more time looking for somebody to have lunch with than I would eating. And I had an appointment, I thought, to go and meet this person to have lunch. And So I get there, I'm ready to meet him, and I see him, but he looks at me and says, "Greg, we aren't supposed to get together until next week." So I said, "Okay, I'm in seminary at this time, in Richmond." So I turn around and head back, and I'm thinking all the way there, who am I going to get to eat with? It's almost past lunchtime. Where am I going to find somebody to eat? What am I going to do? And on the way back, I get this sense that God is saying, "Greg, I want you to have lunch with me today." Amen. And I'm saying, "Okay, God, I know I'm in seminary, but that just seems a little far out there." But it kept coming. "Greg, I want to have lunch with you today."
Amen.
So I'm getting closer back to the seminary. If you know anything about Richmond, there's a ballpark there. It used to be called the Diamond, where the Richmond Braves played. And there's a place called Bill's Barbecue that's right there near the corner. And so I pull into Bill's Barbecue, and I'm going to go in and eat. And I go back to the car because I said, you know, if I'm having lunch with God today, I don't want to miss anything. So I get a journal. I get a notebook. Not really a journal. It's just a notebook with some paper in it. And I go in, I order my barbecue, I go and sit down, and I say, "Okay, God, I'm here." And I start writing. And I do. I said, "Okay, God, you said you want to have lunch with me. I'm here. I'm going to do this in a way that I know I'm being faithful to you, and I want to hear what you have to say. And if it's something that I need to know, I want to remember it," so I'm writing. So I'm doing this, and I'm just kind of having a conversation with God as best I know how, kind of like I would somebody else, because remember, I don't like eating by myself. So I'm doing this, and this is a time in my life when I'm dating Christy. And so pretty quickly, my conversation turns to Christy. And I start thanking God for how blessed I am and for this wonderful person that's come into my life. Then I start telling God, "God, I know, I just want you to help me understand how to be the best husband I can be, Lord. That she's just a wonderful lady, and I want to be everything you want me to be. She's a Christian. She loves you. I love you. That's what I want, God." And all of a sudden, and this is how I know this was not me making this up in my head, because I would not have done this to myself. I heard God say, and I wrote it down, "How much do you love her?" Oh, God just set me up. I went off on how much I loved this girl. She was amazing, and I loved her so much. She was the most beautiful lady I'd ever seen. She did these amazing things. She made me feel wonderful when I was with her. And God, I just love her so much more than I could have ever imagined loving anyone. I'm going on and on. And then God says, "So you want to be the best husband you can be to this woman?" And I said, "Yes, God, I do." God said, "You have to love me more than you love her." And I just wrote over a page about how much I love Christy. And then I sat there. And I knew it was true because I knew the scripture. That if I was truly going to be the husband God wanted me to be, the husband that Christy deserved, I had to change the way I was living my relationship with God. I was in seminary. I was doing the right things. I was going through the motions. But when it really came down to it, the love that I had for God did not compare to what I described as the love that I had for Christy. Now, there's a different type of love in God's love and the love that we have for a significant other. But you know what I mean. There's an intensity that we're supposed to have with God that surpasses every other relationship. And so I think that's the context in what we're seeing today when it says in Scripture that we're to love God more than we love our parents, more than we love our children. And we're going to understand how this plays into who God really wants us to be. So let's think about this whole thing of loving God. Scripture that we just read said we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. First of all, we can't do that humanly. By ourselves, we can't love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't begin to know even how to do that, much less do it. It requires intervention from the Holy Spirit to be able to help us express that type of love. It also takes a daily commitment. It's not something that you do to make a decision one time and it's done. It's something you do over and over and over again. In the Jewish tradition, even, they take this very seriously. There is a name given to this scripture. It's called the Shema. And part of their tradition is that they say this scripture every morning and every evening. I'm not saying that has to become our practice, but I'm saying it's scripture that we need to take seriously.
Amen.
So, what does it mean specifically to love God with all of our heart? I want to look at that one by itself. First, I believe that this comes when you take time to reflect on Christ's love for you, for me. His sacrifice, His suffering, His personal connection to you, His involvement in your everyday life, His provision, His protection, His blessing. And if you really understand that, if you understand the personal nature of who God is, I have seen people that this was so touching to them that it literally brought them to tears. Because they understood that love wasn't just something that's a religious language. It wasn't just something that we talk about. It was something that was real, that there was God, the God of the universe, loved them in this personal way, and it was overwhelming. When we talk about the heart is the home for powerful emotions and affections and desires. Salvation that we are called to experience is not based on emotion. Now, I want you to hear that, because there's preachers that'll go around, particularly evangelists, and they can get people riled up and get them to respond and make decisions, and it can be highly emotionally based, and then a week later it just seems like it falls flat. And that is not appropriate when everything is based on emotion. But I will tell you that you cannot have salvation without emotions being involved, because it's real. It's a part of what affects you internally. And salvation is not a business deal. It's life-changing. And it affects us inside and out. Our heart is also the home for affection and desire. Our love for God, connections in our heart, our desire to know and please Him are a part of what comes from our love, from loving God with all of our heart. Besides our heart, we're also supposed to love God with all of our soul. What is meant by the soul? How's the soul different than loving with the heart? The soul is a deep intimacy. It goes beyond emotions. If something is a part of your soul, it's part of your identity. At the very core of who you are. Soul, the word soul relates to inner being. In other words, it's the real us, the essence of who we are. One translation for the word soul in this context is the word breath. This is referring to life-giving breath. In other words, we're to love God with all of our life, everything that is a part of our being.
Amen.
So we're to love God with all of our heart. We're to love God with all of our soul, where it's a part of our identity. Thirdly, we're to love God with all of our mind. And with all of our mind, there's a lot that could be put into this, but I want to bring it down to one part that I feel God emphasizing in me today, and that is that God gave us intelligence, and we're to use it. We're to use it in particular in reading, studying, and knowing the Scripture. Loving God with all our mind keeps us grounded and away from the trap of simply following a bunch of human feelings. Bible reading and study of Scripture should be a priority. It provides a guideline. It provides affirmation. It provides guardrails that help keep us in the direction that God desires us to go. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind. And finally, we're to love God with all of our strength. In my understanding, as I spent time studying, I was able to simplify it down to we love God with every part of our physical being. And so I picked some different parts. We are to love with our hands, what we do and how we serve. We're to love with our feet, where we go. And you know, not just going to church. There are places that our feet take us every day, and we're to love God in where we choose to go and where we choose not to go. And there are places our feet have been taking us that we shouldn't go there if we love God. And there's also some places that God wants us to go, and if we love God, our feet should be taking us there, and they haven't taken us there yet. So to love God with our strength, means to use our hands, to use our feet, also to use our eyes. We love God with our eyes when we choose what we're looking at. You know there's things you've looked at this week that God did not want you to look at, because when we put our eyes on that, it begins to be a part of our thinking, which then becomes a part of our action. And we know pretty quickly what God wants us to be looking at, what God wants us to be paying attention to. And there's some things that God wants us to look at that make us uncomfortable. But we need to do that anyway, because that's a part of God leading us and guiding us to the place that He desires us to be, that yes, may be outside of our comfort zone. Yes, may require things of us that we're not sure we want to give. We're to love God with all of our strength, which also may mean with our ears. What we listen to. What do you listen to? What type of things do you hear? Perhaps it's music we hear. Maybe it's conversations that we hear. People that we spend around hearing them share stories. Are they appropriate or are they inappropriate? Does simply our hearing condone something? Or are there people that we need to listen to, that we need to hear, that we sometimes feel like we just have more important things to do? We don't have time to stop and listen. But God wants us to use our ears in that way, because that's a way of us loving God through our strength, is being willing to use those ears in the way He leads us. And then finally, with our mouth, what we say. And there's books and sermons galore written on the tongue and what the Bible has to say about that. But we are to let the Holy Spirit guide our tongue in all that we say. Because it can be a most destructive tool, or it can be something that brings healing, hope, and encouragement. So we're to love God with all of our strength. If we choose to live and love God in this way, people will know without a shadow of a doubt we are in love with God. That God is first and foremost in our lives. Are you there right now? Do you want to be there where people know that you're in love with God? The second commandment that He listed right behind that was to love people. Remember that Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, verse where it talked about you have to love God more than you do your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter? Well, here comes the beautiful follow-up to that commandment. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's another whole sermon. It could be there about loving yourself. But just quickly, I'll say, God loves you. You have to recognize the value in yourself in order to be able to love others. But God loves you so much. And if you don't know that today, you need to. And I would love to have that conversation. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Putting God first actually enables you to love your family, your friends, and everyone you encounter in a more full and genuine manner. So do you understand that? God's not saying in a selfish way, you have to love me and you have to love these others less. God's saying, I care so much for you. I care so much for those in your life. You have to put me first. You have to love me with all of your being so I can enable you to be able to love.
Amen.
In the way that you were created to love. Your love is no longer limited to your capabilities. You can now see others, their needs, their pain, and their giftedness through the eyes of God. You become a reflection of God's love. Let me tell you the opposite of that just really quickly. If we try to love others without putting God first, we're going to fail miserably. And this is how it sometimes happens. And we're trying to do the right thing, but this is the type of thing going. We're thinking we're doing the right thing and with our friends, with our family, but there's a bigger picture we can't see. So there's times that we're trying to do the right thing, but we just mess up. And if we take time and in our relationship with God, and we're connected with God in a loving relationship like God calls us to do in this scripture, then we respond to those relationships in a way that have a different outcome.
That's right.
Also, we at times, if we're trying to love in our own ability, we assume we know what others are feeling or thinking, when at times we don't. And so that leads us down the wrong road. Then there are times that we're truly doing what those that we care about, we're doing truly what they ask. And we think that's helpful and we think that's pleasing. But it can actually be that even though we're doing what they believe they want, it can be hurtful to them, or it can be enabling them to go down a path that God doesn't desire. But God would know that if we allow God to be the one that's leading us in those relationships. And then finally, sometimes we just make judgments based on our own situation. And if we don't have God as a part of it, that's common sense. We make the best judgment we can with the information that's around us. But if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, are in that relationship, then God is able to intervene in things that may not make sense on the surface. Make sense to us in a way that God then leads and guides those relationships to a beautiful place. So our challenge today is to leave here loving God and loving people.
Amen.
And it's simple. It really is simple. Just to love God and love people. But it doesn't mean it's always easy. There's a person that I talked to about 3 weeks ago, and they made a profession of faith. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so right now, even now, they're seeking to understand what we talked about today. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to connect in that way? And how is it going to change my relationship with other people? And when I was having a conversation with this person, when they accepted Jesus Christ, they didn't use the word soul, but in the midst of that conversation, they said, "Greg, I'm different on the inside. I can feel something. Something's different than it was before." So that was them. Their identity was literally changing before me. And so they were experiencing a love of God in their soul at that time. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit becomes a part of who you are and a part of that identity. It's then that you begin to be able to love our God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. And so this person that has accepted Christ, they're discovering every day how to do that. And sometimes it's easier than others. But then as they do that, it's also changing the relationships with all of those that are in their life. Does it always make it easier? No. Because there's sometimes that people are used to a certain type of relationship. And if you're going to be the person God wants you to be in that relationship, it means you're no longer the person they're used to you being. But if you're being who God wants you to be, you're being the person.
Amen.
So I would invite our musicians to come up. We're going to have a time of invitation. And there's an invitation that's not from me. It's from God. God loves you more than anybody ever can, ever will, ever has. And God desires to know, to experience your love, for you to be able to give that genuine. And when you do, it changes your life. Or maybe you're like this one I've talked about, and in the midst of growing in that relationship, don't feel like you have to leave here and have all the answers. You don't. But if you take one step at a time, you continue to grow in that relationship. Just like I've grown in my relationship with Christy over 17 years. I had some great feelings for her 17 years ago, but we have a whole lot greater, deeper, and more beautiful life now than we did then. And that's what happens as you continue in your relationship. Take a step today in the direction God wants you to go in loving Him and in loving people. Let's stand together and sing "It Is Well With My Soul," hymn number 410.
All right, so like Greg said, turn to 410. And then at the very bottom, that's the chorus of the actual hymn book. It says, "It is well."